very, very different podcast with me, Kieran. Why is it different? Well, first of all, it's not in a pub. And second of all, we are missing two-thirds of the cast. So, what can I say? Only, well, sure look.
Sure listen. Sure this is it.
Sure, what can we do? You know? So I've drafted in Kevin Keane, my compadre, my brother-in-arms, and my campaigning buddy on fucking Neon Skies. And we're
going to
talk some bollocks and some process and, yeah. How are you,
Kevin? Yeah, not too bad. Delighted to be here. I love this podcast. So it's always class to be on it. Always. And thanks to Darren and Wayne for allowing me come on in their absence.
Yeah, sure. We should explain their absence before we really do anything. Wayne is away doing bad things. And Darren is out getting himself super, super, super fit at the moment. He is not tied up in a room with Gundams, as I implied. So... The guys kind of said, well, we can hold off recording for a week. Or I said, you know what? Because it's the last week of the campaign, because it's the last week of the Kickstarter that we've been planning and prepping and, you know, getting everything together for like 2 years, I think we might as well do a last little push by having a bit of a creative chat about Neon Skies, about the ups, the downs, the highs and lows, the things we planned for, the things we didn't plan for.
Yeah. Cool.
Because, as you know, our process on this has been very, very open since day one.
Yeah.
It's been something that we've literally shared from the planning, scripting, sketch designs, you know, up to ink designs, up to finished pages, up to every step.
Yeah, from day one.
We've shared the process. So why not share it in the absolute last week when we're pulling our hair out?
Yeah.
You know?
Since day one, we made it very clear that we wanted to include everybody in every step, because we knew that it was going to be a long haul. We knew that it was going to be a very, very long term time wise project in terms of like the scale of how long it was going to take to put together. So better to include everybody rather than just expect hype when no one knows anything. You know,
rather than sit on it for a year and say nothing and then just be like, and here's a thing.
You need to be in a particular position publicly before you can actually start doing stuff like that, I think.
Yeah.
And
I think
we're very much developing our audience.
Like, I mean, there's been two sides to this in pretty much everything we've done. There's been my take on it, which is to kind of sell the story, and your take on it, which is to kind of sell the art. And it's worked out pretty well for us, in fairness.
It has. I mean, everybody that's been reacting and everybody that's been included as following it, they've been super supportive and they've been really involved with commenting on it and, you know, actively spreading it by word of mouth. I mean, we've seen it in the last maybe since March this year, since the Dublin Comic Con Anime Edition, when people were actually starting to ask about it at every convention this year, where people were like, when is this going to be out? When is it going to be ready?
And so I think that was a little bit of us maybe starting the push too early.
Maybe you could be right.
A little bit like, when the fuck is it coming, lads? We're sick.
Would you ever hurry up, for fuck's sake?
Yeah.
But I think, to be honest with you, like the interaction that we had previously with them online of, you know, you sharing your steps and the process that you were going through and then me sharing little snippets of the art, it was creating enough intrigue that eventually, by the time this year came around, everybody was like, all right, look, lads, what are you fucking doing? And when we finally came around to showing more of it off and then showing our planning, it all fell together really nicely, which was bizarre.
Yeah.
Because with anything like this...
It certainly appear that way on the outside, but like, once and all...
But when you're... But when you're trying anything like this, you really just don't know how it's going to go. You don't know who's going to respond. You don't know who's going to react. You don't know how it's going to be received, and you don't know if anyone's going to have any interest. But thankfully, we were very open and we were very honest about our process. So I think people responded to that in a really good way, and I'm delighted because it shows that they appreciate our honesty and they appreciate the fact that, you know, we're not walking around like we're rock stars. We're walking around like people who are grinding, trying to make this happen, you know?
No, we can't walk around like we're rock stars. We don't actually have the Kickstarter money yet. When we do.
When we do, though. Oh, you wait. Just you wait and see. Oh. Yeah. I'm going to buy a giraffe.
I think we do a scene for scene remake of the nerd video for lap dance.
cutouts. I'd love that. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
That's the last video we put out on the Kickstarter after we get the money.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Like, we could almost lip sync it. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
It would. Now, before we get entirely self-indulgent into our own shit,
Yes.
I figure the best thing we can do is kind of go through the questions that we have on the page, because we do have a few. People have actually been kind enough to kind of gear them towards Neon Skies as well, but there are some other ones, so I figure, we might
Sure.
as well do the pubcast thing,
I'll do my best.
even though
I'll
we're
do
not
my
in a pub
best.
and we're missing two-thirds of the cast. But it is what it is.
Sure.
Sure, look,
Sure, listen.
So we have doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. The lovely Megan Kane has come onto the podcast page and is asking, are you looking forward to Thought Bubble? Will there be a launch party in Dublin? And will we be able to get her out of Kilkenny for a few hours?
I think, all right, so I'll address the Dublin one first, I guess. Yeah, we are kind of going, we're going to do of course we're going to do an Irish release. Of course we are. We're just going to figure out the details of it first before we say anything. But
Well, we
you
can
know,
say
'cause
that each of our gold tier backers who backed us so far, we have Waterford Comics, who is on the gold tier. We have Forbidden Planet Dublin, who have backed us at the gold tier. And as part of those, as part of the gold tier, we did say we would do sign-ins in those for
Yes.
those stores.
Yes.
Hell, I'll do sign-ins in the stores for the five, copies, no
Oh
problem.
yeah,
So far
absolutely.
we have a number of stores who've already signed up around the country.
Yeah.
I have word of promise from a few more. But definitely we will be doing a launch event. We may even do some kind of launch event where backers can actually, if they're, relative to Dublin, and this is something I'll put out there as an idea now and we can discuss it live because we haven't actually talked about it, but we could probably do some
Sure.
sort of come collect your stuff
Oh, that'd be cool.
in some cases, rather than, waiting for us to deliver everything out. When we have received everything, we may hold some sort of event in Dublin where people could actually just
Yeah.
come and collect their stuff, because we
Like if
do
you
have a
were,
strong concentration of Irish backers,
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, if you're one, if you're somebody who does like to pop out and have a bit of a walk around and go to one of these events, like, I mean, the various comic events that happen around Ireland that aren't just, you know, Dublin Comic Con and the likes. But if you like to go to like stuff like that, I mean, for example, like what you guys did with Ocean City in Forbidden Planet, stuff like that. If you like to go to events like that, it would be really cool to bring everybody's stock and have it there and do a kind of a Comic Con event where you don't pay us, we just give you your stuff. If you backed it, there you go.
Now we
That'd be
could tie
great.
that in with a launch somewhere, maybe, if a
Cool.
store was willing.
Sure.
But at the moment, simple answer is yes, we will have launch events. In fact, we may have multiple ones
Yeah.
because of the nature of how we did our Kickstarter. We did agree to do signings in stores as the on the back of it. So
Yes.
yeah, we could be running up and down this country. You might be sick of us, Megan, by the end of it. You might just
Yeah,
not
I
want
think
us.
we'll be sick of it too. But no, I'd be well up for that. I'd be absolutely delighted to do something like that. It would be fun on top of functional, you know.
Bit of crack.
Definitely. So I hope. And was it the second part of the question Megan asked? The thought bubble, is it?
Yeah, what are you looking forward to at Thought Bubble?
Are you looking forward? Yeah, oh, of course. Jesus, it's Thought Bubble. It's the biggest Comic Con in Europe, right?
Well, it's the biggest pure comics convention for sure.
Yes, like for the real
Harry
deal
Comics
comic
are
book
like kicking
fans,
its ass size wise now, but
right? I wouldn't be as familiar with the Parisian stuff, but
it's actually a Reed Pop show. Same guys who run New York and San Diego.
okay. Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, they must be just trying to capitalize so on the European market, I guess. But yeah, Thought Bubble. Look, I mean, the best are at Thought Bubble. You know, you're bound to see some cool stuff. You're bound to talk to some cool people. Yeah,
See
it's
who
gonna be
they
great.
announced during the week.
I didn't. I've been too busy. I've been basically. I've been literally only working on Neon Sky stuff and my day to day. So I haven't actually been keeping up to date with anything.
Kevin. Warren Ellis will be there.
Oh, Lordy Lou. That's your weekend anyway.
Oh, I got very excited,
You.
Kevin.
Are you gonna get your transmit signed?
I might. I might bring a transmat. I might. Oh God! Like I've actually met Warren twice before.
Yeah.
I met him at London Supercon, where he wasn't actually doing signings. It was in the early Lightning Strike days, and we were there pimping away, and he was doing a talk, but he wasn't doing a signing. But in order to get to said talk, he had to walk by my table,
All right.
and which led to me. I believe Cormac was sitting with me at the time. I literally jumped over the table, happened to have a book in my bag ready to go, just in case I should see him. Fully and completely fucked my leg jumping over the table, but maintained it. And Warren Ellis
Stuck the
signed my
landing.
book, and I went to his talk, and it was a really good talk. I met him again
Yeah, I like Warren Ellis.
at the, if you recall, it must be just over a year ago now, I'd say, where Dex Shalvey had the talk in Trinity College.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of a science of science fiction kind of talk, and Warren was the key speaker. It's a really, really good talk. And again, for the purposes of his public appearance, Warren is a big, scary man. He is absolutely horrible, and you should not approach him. He's lovely, Warren. He's a big teddy bear.
He's a teddy bear, yeah. You can see it in his face. You see it in his face. He's all grit, but when you get to really sit in the man's company long enough, you realize there's more. There's layers. He's like, it was in Shrek. He's an onion. You know, onions got layers.
So what have we got? Really, we've myself, yourself, and Wayne have talked about a few things for Talkable, but basically, bottom line, it's gonna be two books that are there. It's gonna be
Yeah.
Wayne hasn't released The Broker in the English market.
Yep.
Now it has been released there. I've brought it to shows previously in Birmingham, and I've brought it to a couple of other little shows around England, but it hasn't been at the big one. It hasn't been at Thought Bubble.
Yeah.
And
No, that'll
Rogue
be great.
hasn't been at Thought Bubble as Rogue.
Yeah.
So we're going over, and I know it's myself, yourself, and Wayne who will essentially be manning the table. Jill will be with us, Ellen will be with us,
Yeah.
and a few other rogues will be rocking around in their freelance roaming around capacity. I believe Claire will be there for sure.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great.
But product wise, if you're going to Thoughtful, streamline your shit.
Yeah, less is more. Because it's such a big event and there's so many people there on offer. You don't want to have mess or noise on your page, or on your table. You want to have a very concise, consolidated group of products that you want to try and sell to the people there, you know.
So fingers crossed as of right now, and we can announce this, I suppose. As of right now, we should have the first hardcover editions of Neon Skies at Thoughtful. Fingers crossed, literally touching all the wood.
It's tight, but we managed to get everything ready and prepared. So hopefully now the printing time and the printing turnaround will be advantageous,
How
shall we
tight,
say.
Kev? How many hours ago did we send it?
I uploaded the final cover to Dropbox at 5:30 on the button. So that's everything done now. Like that's the full wraparound to the dimensions given to us by the printer. You know, there's a lot more in this than we expected. You know, having like we have both of us have had a lot of experience putting together books from both sides of our respective careers, but like, you know, at the end of the day, you get into a rhythm, you know how to put a book, you know, especially if it's a soft cover graphic novel, which is pretty much all Rogue throughout, you know, save for Ocean City and Blood Runs Cold, which are smaller. But like we've put together so many books now, we're like, yeah, we could do this. It's no problem. But the amount of extra steps involved with a hardcover is crazy. It was such a learning experience.
The
So,
amount of things we've had to do that neither of us have ever had to do before.
oh yeah, insane, just insane.
It's just learning. As we talk about this privately a lot, but it's just learning a new step
Yeah.
with each thing that we do, you know?
Yeah.
And I think learning the hardcover step will teach us. I mean, yeah, I've done single floppy comics. You've done single floppy comics. I've done spine bound, perfect bind books that are essentially mini graphic novels.
Yep.
of you. You've done them up to 80 pages. You've done a graphic novel already, pretty much. But leveling the production up to hardcover, which we were, and I'll be honest, which we were advised against at the very start.
Yes, we were.
And
And now we know why.
now we know why.
But I'm almost happy we were a bit dumb about it. I'll be honest with you, because I think this risk, it's worth it, because like we've seen the tests and we've seen the quality of what we're getting, and it's really, it really has been worth it. I can't really word it. Without anybody listening had to have it in their hand, to actually have the book properly, tangibly in their hand, it's hard to describe. But like it's been worthwhile for sure. I'm super excited. I really have. I might cry.
It might be a thing. It might be a thing. There might
Yeah.
be tears at Thoughtbubble.
So Thought Bubble will be a crazy, like Thought Bubble, realistically, like to answer Megan's question succinctly, I would say I'm looking forward to Thought Bubble because not well, yes, obviously because it's the Comic Con, it's the biggest comic book convention in England for sure, anyway, but in Europe for sure as well. But I'm looking forward to Thought Bubble because it will be the full stop on 2.5 years of solid focus and production on one project, you know. And that's going to be a lot of that's going to be a lot of weight off our shoulders, and it's going to be very rewarding.
I should
So that
say, because there may be some backers who are listening to this going, but they're launching some at Thought Bubble. What? Here's the story, lads. The printer that we are working with is the person who printed my very first comic back in the day. And he very kindly, a man named Stuart Gould, who runs UK Comics Creative, if you're interested in making comics, check out their stuff.
Yeah.
You can just find them. Just Google UK Comics Creative, Stuart. And Stuart very kindly offered to personally drive down to Thought Bubble with a small selection of the initial test prints that we can use at the convention to give out. So don't be worrying. It is not the full final release version. It is an early test version that is being done as a
Yeah.
favor by the guy who decided to print this with us as a very nice favor
Yeah.
to
No,
me
what
and
a
Kev
legend.
as kind of coming full circle on 7, 8 years of working with him. So please don't be annoyed at us for that. We will make sure that you guys get your books, don't worry. It's also a matter of fact of that, the campaign itself doesn't finish running until Monday. So we can't actually print the final version until we have every backer's name from it.
Yeah. So like rest assured that your name won't appear in a book that another person didn't back,
Yeah,
you know,
because
that's not
this is kind of outside of the process a little bit, and that's why I'm being up for we've been upfront and honest about everything from every step, so we may as well be upfront and honest with our backers now and say, yes, we will have a few early copies there. We kind of have to take the career opportunity of going to Thought Bubble with our new nice book to show to these
Yeah.
wonderful creatives who may be able to get us some creative jobs, So.
That's the thing. I mean, Neon Skies is what we would consider I think in the Irish scene, you could say like a book that size printed to that scale is the ultimate portfolio piece. And, you know, to the people backing it, you know, the reason you backed us is because we're independent. And, you know, we're independent because we're not currently employed with any major publisher or anything like that. And the only way, and I think this is fairly common knowledge anyway to those people listening that might have the ambition to go into the career, but if they don't and you're unclear on it, the only way you get work in the creative industry is by showing off what you've previously done.
Put your best foot
And
forward at all times.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So when you go to an event like Thought Bubble, you know, there's always people looking for somebody. There's always people looking to hire somebody, regardless of is it writing, is it drawing, is it coloring, is it lettering? It could be anything. So having your most recent, most polished work available is just good for your career. And, you know, that stands to all careers. It doesn't matter if it's comic books or if it's finance or God knows what else. As long as you can put your best foot forward, that's how you progress. So,
Exactly.
you know, you guys backing us, your vote of confidence in us is not being ignored for a single second.
No.
You will be rewarded massively for backing us. But if you want us to keep doing it, we know we need to keep the career moving.
Yeah, basically. So when you
You
hear this, Bob Hoyne, don't get annoyed. Me and Kev are basically planning to show
know?
up at your house with your page eventually when it's all done. All right, don't worry.
Yeah. For sure.
So we have another question. We have a couple of questions. So from Derek Kyo. Derek first of all says congrats on getting fully funded. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you,
Appreciate
Derek.
it.
Thank you.
And he's got an interest, and we've never asked this question, so I'm gonna just roll with it.
Cool.
What would be your dream casting for a Netflix Neon Skies series?
I've actually thought about
I
this. I've
haven't.
actually, you haven't? You've
No.
never thought, really? Okay, this should be fun.
You posed it earlier on, and I've only got one character that I absolutely insist on,
Who's
and
that?
that's Quinn.
Okay.
All right, because Quinn is based
Yeah.
on a human being that
On
exists.
a, yes, on a, yeah, I remember the actor. Yeah, the guy
Yeah,
from Seven Psychopaths.
Michael
Yeah.
Pitt. So
Michael Pitt. Yeah.
Quinn is Michael Pitt, hands down, like, done deal.
Yeah, Michael Pitt for sure. So for me, no, there's one character we're not going to name because we haven't revealed him
Yeah.
yet. We haven't shown this character does not show up in any of the previews that myself or Ciarán have put out publicly. So we're not going to cast that guy
I'm
because
gonna give you who my dream casting for him was, and it'll give people a little
yes,
bit of a
go
clue
ahead.
because
Yeah.
he was my friend, he was my
Yeah.
companion, my buddy, and the key. I nearly said his name. Shit! I nearly said the whew, God damn! Nearly said the character name, but the character that we shall not name was based on Reg Cathy. So for me, he'll always be Reg.
Yeah, he was a fucking incredible actor.
Oh,
Like,
tell me
he
about it.
was a sensational
But we can't go with that, so we're
actor
not going to
without.
talk about that. We're going to take that character off the table for now.
Yeah, so we'll overstep that one. So Derek, we'll put a pin in that, right? So when the book is out and you've read it, then ask us and we'll tell you
Oh no, I'll give him the
who we
rest of the
cast.
characters, no problem. Let's run
Oh no,
deep.
I'm saying no, I'm saying just for that. I'm just saying for just that one character.
Oh yeah.
I'm saying for the, we'll do the rest no, but that Derek come back to me, you know. So for me, I'll always start with the villains first. So for me, Noble, Alexander Noble, I would cast if, and again, this is Netflix now and this isn't Hollywood, so I'm
Mate,
gonna try and.
they just got Henry Cavill to play the lead in the Witcher series, so
That's gonna be great. I think that's his facially. I think he's perfect for it.
yeah.
I think I get really, really annoyed when people start giving him shit for the mustache. It's like, you know, he wasn't the CGI guy.
Yeah.
So he had nothing to do with that. Let's leave him alone. Fuck, he's a good actor. Leave him alone. Have you seen The Man from U.N.C.L.E.? The guy is great. Anyway, so for Noble, Alexander Noble, I would cast Robert Nepper. Yeah, do you like that?
As seen as Robert Nepper is one of my favorite actors, and I have actually met the man. He's fucking amazing.
He is. No, he's incredible.
Yeah, all in. All
Robert
in
Nepper
on
is
Robert
just
Nepper, man.
insanely good.
Holy shit. Have you actually seen him in this is gonna be mental. I've never put that together in my head until right now. But
Just his demeanor, just his
yeah.
entire, like the stature of him, I think he'd be
He's
perfect.
currently playing a character in iZombie.
All right, yeah, Ellen watches that. She loves that
Where
show.
he is essentially after taking on the guise of a religious leader of zombies. All right.
That sounds cool, yeah.
And but like dude, his hair is like bleached out white and shit.
Oh,
Oh
really?
yeah,
Oh,
no, you need
wicked.
to get a look at this.
Oh, cool. I'm gonna look at it right now.
Yeah,
But
man,
yeah,
that's
so yeah, Robert Nepper, and then for Reigns, I think you would need a certain character of certain stature as well. Like Reigns, I imagine him to be about 6 foot 8 to 7 feet tall, about 310 pounds of muscle with 5% body fat. So he's
So Roman Reigns.
well, if that's your call, go for it. I would say Joe Manganiello.
Very similar dudes, actually.
Yeah,
Very
very
similar
similar. Yeah,
dudes.
like Joe Manganiello, he was in. He was. They were trying to get him to play
Well,
Deathstroke.
he did play Deathstroke.
He did briefly at the end of Justice League. Yeah,
Yeah. Now, if he ever
there's.
plays Deathstroke again, we'll see. But maybe
Yeah.
known to people as he played Flash Gordon in, or not Flash Gordon, Flash Thompson in the
In
first three
Spider-Man, yeah.
Spider-Man films, the Raimi films. He was
That
also
blew
a
my
very, very
mind.
popular werewolf called Al Seed in
Yeah, True Blood.
True Blood. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember the what turned me on,
Well, he's a very
what
sexy
made me.
man, you know?
Well, he's a beautiful man. There's no denying it. But what really kind of made me a fan of Manganiello was fucking, oh God, it was a movie called Sabotage, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ooh. And it was made by David Ayer, and they're DEA special elite soldiers, and he is a total badass in that movie. Like, he's an absolute psychopath.
The combination of things that make that, that you just described, that make that movie, make it a perfect U film. So it's got David Ayer, Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a huge Schwarzenegger fan, but I appreciate that David Ayer gets the best out of his actors, and Arnie turns in a seriously fucking amazing performance, because in that movie it's awesome. The lady from World War Z is in it as well. The white, Brad Pitt's fucking wife, what is her name? I can never remember her name. She has a very stark face. She has a great face.
I can't remember him having a wife in World War Z, Dave. I just remember
She is in it, but she's also in that movie Sabotage, and Terrence Howard, Terrence Howard's also in that film, and she is a total badass in that movie as well. So I don't even know how I got on that. I was just pointing out that that's a look, watch Sabotage, it's fucking awesome. Anyway, the elite are masked silent characters, so you don't really need any A-listers or anything like that playing them. You would just need, like, the way I would
stormtroopery with it, you know.
Yeah, for funsies, I would say I do know one in particular.
I have a pick, may I?
Go ahead.
I can't remember his name now. God damn it.
I have Google open here in front of me if you need me to check.
He's a very, very handsome man. God, we're picking very handsome people.
Of course we are. It's Hollywood. Sex sells, man.
He was a vampire in a season of American Horror Story.
Matthew Bomer.
Matthew Bomer, that's it. Matthew Bomer.
The reason that I know that is because you showed me that episode with Lady Gaga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love Matthew Bomer. He was Superman. He voiced Superman in the DC animated movies.
That's right, he did. He's also up, I believe, for playing the role of Midnighter in the next season of Arrow.
Which would be fucking awesome.
You reckon?
Yeah, well, he himself is gay, so that's absolutely perfect.
I didn't know that. Fair enough.
Yeah, he himself is actually gay, so he would actually bring a real authenticity to that character, because he's not very outward about it.
Yeah.
But he is out, and like what I like about Matthew Bomer is that he's very respectful about it. Yeah. He's not in your face. He's very, very restrained, and I really like that about his character, and the types of characters that he plays in his shows reflects that as well. He usually plays, apart from the ridiculous vampire from American Horror Story.
He was
quite solemn, I believe.
Well, the deal with that character was essentially that, you know, he was turned because she was mad about him.
Yeah.
And he kind of outgrew her over time. It's a bit of a Louis from Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah.
If you get me.
Yeah. I hear you, yeah. That's good. Matthew Bomer for Alpha, 100%. He's got the perfect facial structure for it, for sure.
That gorgeous hair, you know?
Oh, beautiful hair. Just shave that left side and just set him in the mask, and that's it. I would cast for Omega, the female elite with the purple hair. I actually designed her off of a real person. Katie Sackhoff. She played Starbuck in...
I'm fucking all in on Katie Sackhoff, man.
I remember the first time I'd seen her was in the movie Riddick.
Yeah.
And she plays an absolute fucking badass in that movie.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, in terms of stature, in terms of physique, she's very broad, extremely broad-shouldered, and she's quite tall. And at no point during the scenes in the film, you know, it's Riddick, so it's a testosterone fest.
Yeah.
So, like, at no point in that movie did she seem out of place.
Yeah.
I would say Katie Sackhoff would be perfect, especially in stature next to Bomer.
That's a good choice.
God, this is great. I don't know how we haven't done this before.
I know, right? But I kind of like that we're doing it live as well, because this is proper straight out of our brain. So far, let's just do the rundown, right? We've got... Got Robert Knepper. Reg Cathy in an undisclosed role.
Sure.
Robert Knepper.
Matthew Bomer. Katie Sackhoff.
Joe Manganiello.
Yep.
Right, so that leaves us with two more elites.
So for Omega or for Gamma, the silver-haired male elite, if you, I think just for size, he's much taller than Alpha, and he's the biggest. He's as big as Reigns. So I would actually suggest Jason Momoa.
Oh, really? I was going to
Yeah.
go a completely different way because he appears to me to be more like gaunt, kind of thinner. One of Gamma's.
Okay. Okay.
Hear me out now. Hear me out now.
Sure.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh yeah, no, fuck with my idea. That's way better.
Yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård's perfect.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah, fuck, that's perfect. Jeez, I can't. Why did I not think of that? Oh my
I'm
God.
literally looking at a picture of him up there right now, and I'm like, that's Skarsgård. That's him. Having it.
Okay, so I have a very that's perfect, man. That's absolutely perfect. All right, let's write all these down so that when we do get our Netflix power, we can make this happen. For I think I have the perfect actor for Bella.
Oh yeah. Now
Yeah.
one more elite to go. One more elite to
Oh
go.
yes, we do. Yes, we do. Jesus, what am I like? One more elite. It's Delta. She is a smaller character. Do you know who I would go for Delta? Even though physically she's a bit different, I would go for Gina Carano.
Really?
Yeah, from Deadpool.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, she's got that really kind of intense stare. Like, I mean, Gina Carano was a badass cage fighter in her day, and she's got the physicality to justify it. So I would go for Gina
Yeah, that's a
Carano,
team of
but
elites that
obviously
would
open to
mess you up.
and look good doing it.
Yeah.
And look damn good doing it. So for Bella,
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you first. Who would you, if you had your dream cast for Bella, old Bella, seasoned Bella, who would you go for?
Well, you see, it's impossible because she's passed away. But kind of always had Carrie Fisher in my head.
Oh really? Yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
In some ways, I kind of like the character to me is somewhere between Sarah Connor and General Leia.
Yes.
You know, as is,
Yeah, yeah.
as a character. And Linda Hamilton looks too good just running around as Sarah Connor right now, so I can't. So that puts Linda Hamilton out for me, do you know what I mean? She will
For sure,
always
yeah.
be Sarah Connor, so it needs to be somebody else. I don't know, hit me with what you got. Hit me with what you got.
I'm gonna say Lena Headey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, someone who has actually played Sarah Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
She did, didn't
She
she?
did.
I completely forgot that.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Holy
Yeah,
shit.
once touched my bum and told me it was very nice as well. Just
Yeah,
putting that in there because whenever somebody brings up Lena Headey, you know, so.
okay. Yeah, I give that. Yeah, I would absolutely go for that. 100%.
Oh, yeah, no, Mama is fucking Bella, yeah.
Mama, yeah, that's that. Yeah, because she's got that kind of edge. She's
Yeah.
got that real kind of sassy edge to her. And she's physically perfect
Yeah.
for that, I think. You know, physically, she's the exact physique of Bella.
Now, the
For
hardest question of all.
oh, Jesus Christ.
Who plays Hope? Now, God, I have an actress in mind, but no, it doesn't work. I think if we were gonna do Hope, it would probably be need to be young and unknown.
Yeah, like I was gonna say Helen Mirren, but look, fuck.
Well, no, because Hope is an 18-year-old girl, right?
Yeah.
So let's not do the Hollywood thing and cast a 30-year-old. Let's
Of
Mark
course.
Hamill in Star Wars this bitch and fucking cast somebody that we haven't seen before. I would almost, yeah, I'd go unknown. I'm trying to think of young actresses that are working right now in that age bracket.
I do actually have a suggestion.
Go
I
for it.
actually do I actually do have a suggestion.
By
She's been
God,
in
it's Miley Cyrus. I fucking swear to God.
it's not Miley Cyrus,
It's
no,
not.
it's not. She plays Betty Brant in Spider-Man Homecoming. She is actually I'll just check her age
I
now. One
remember
sec.
Betty Brant being in Spider-Man
Oh,
Homecoming.
she's in it. Though the actual actor herself is 17, so you could get away with it. Her name is Anjuri Rice. And Anjuri Rice, how I know her is she plays Ryan Gosling's daughter in The Nice Guys. And she is fucking amazing in that film. She is the heart and soul of that entire movie. But she was Betty Brant in Spider-Man Homecoming. She was one of the girls, if you remember, in the scene where Peter is playing, he's playing at ball with the school, the class, and there's a bunch of the girls sitting on the seat and they're talking about who they would marry, kiss, or go to bed with. Was it Thor, Captain America, or the Hulk? She was one of the girls, but that's Betty Brant, the little blonde girl. But she's 17, she's about the right build, she's about the right height, but her capacity for acting, her actual ability to emote on screen is just outstanding for her age. So that's who that like if you look like look up a picture of her face
Oh, I'm
on
looking at her
Google.
right now.
She's actually facially very like Hope
Yeah,
as
she is.
well. So that would have been that would be my suggestion. But that said, I would also be happy for a talented unknown as well. But I can tell you, if you watch, and this is for the listeners too, if you watch The Nice Guys, obviously that movie is hilarious because of Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, but she is the heart and soul of that film, top to bottom. So, is there anyone else that
Podcast
we could
listeners
cast?
will well know my long documented hate of all things Shane Black, but whatever.
Well, I'm going to state it right now that I love Shane Black movies as I love Shane Black movies more than most people. So that's where, but you know what they say, opposites attract,
It is,
you know, opposites attract, you know, we can't all be perfect. It's not Kieran's fault that he doesn't like good filmmaking. It's just not his fault. Is there anyone else to
Yeah,
cast, or have we got everybody?
we have not answered the second part of Derek's question because we got into that casting thing, which is a really good call because we've never done it before. I felt like I was in an issue with Wizard there. That was pretty cool.
Thanks, Derek.
So, Derek also asks, now I don't know if you've seen this, reactions to the set photos of the upcoming Doom Patrol series. Have you seen any of these?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I
Oh.
haven't. I actually didn't even know Doom Patrol was being made into a series.
For the
I had heard nothing
it's
about
announced a
it.
couple of weeks ago for the DC Online streaming service. They are creating a live action Doom Patrol series, most likely based around the recent reboot run. And check this one out. They've cast Brendan Fraser as Robot Man.
Really?
Yep.
I'm actually really happy to hear he's coming back.
I think he'd be fucking perfect as surly old Robot Man. That'd be.
I fucking love Brendan Fraser. He was so underrated. Like, that'd be brilliant.
But
And so are they doing like Negative Man and the Chief and
they're doing the
Elastigirl?
whole. Alan Tudyk has been announced as Negative Man.
All right, okay. Although anything he lends his face to crashes and burns.
I'm glad that you're already in on this. This is something we've recorded well
Oh,
and
really?
documented on podcast.am. Alan Tudyk's face is the face of cancellation, the face of death. If he appears in a vocal capacity, that thing will run till the end of fucking time. Till the end of time. Let him forever be
Star
the
Wars and
boat
the
in the
likes.
tick. Let him forever be the surly robot in Star Wars.
I'm surprised that I guess that he didn't want to get typecast as Robot Man by not going for that role. That's cool. I mean, look, I hope it does well
Actually,
despite
have a
him.
Google there. Have a Googs.
Of
Have a bit of the Googs. Doom Patrol set photos.
I'm gonna look now, yeah. God damn. I did, that's crazy. And like I have always felt like I never really collected the Doom Patrol. I always just saw it in the kind of rear view mirror. But well, you know what? I'm looking at the pictures now and I think it'll be fine because Alan Tudyk's face isn't visible.
I think we may have gotten away with it,
We just slipped past it. But you see, the thing is, I always imagine like, you know, like pre Guardians of the Galaxy becoming a household title. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy was really obscure. You know, it was super obscure and not many people read it. I think I've always classified Doom Patrol to be somewhat similar.
Well, you see, Doom Patrol always fell into that thing where it came out and the X-Men fans will hate me for this, but it came out 6 months before X-Men and was basically X-Men. In comics terms. Think
So it's,
about it. It's a bunch of bandied together outsiders with strange powers who were led around by a professor in a wheelchair. If you really boil it down, like, you know, Marvel just sold more. And so X-Men became the
Well,
dominant of the two.
it's funny you say that. Like, I'm looking at an image here of Elastigirl, Negative Man, Robot Man, and Beast Boy, and there's a guy in a wheelchair. Who's his name again? The guy with the big red beard.
Oh, he's the guy who put them all together, isn't
But like, he's in a wheelchair, and it's like the classic X-Men
Oh,
shot. That's crazy. That's
That's by
by
Philip
Philip Tan. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good image. No, that's gonna be cool. I think it looks really good. I think Negative Man looks legit. What's funny is, I
Or
think
sorry, Mr.
this.
Nobody. Mr. Nobody? He's not playing. No. Alan Tudyk's playing Mr. Nobody. He's not playing Negative Man.
Oh, okay. So, Mr. Nobody. Okay.
He's playing the Baron.
So, I mean, what's funny is it actually looks better than some of the other DC stuff I've seen.
Yeah. What's your
Like,
take on some of the DC live action stuff you've seen? Because I haven't really talked about it. How are you in or not in on Titans?
oh, not in. Not in. Not even close. Stupid.
I'm all in.
That's fair. I mean, look, I'm not gonna chastise anybody for liking it. That's fucking, I'm glad you like it, honestly.
They're also producing a new Swamp Thing live action series as well.
I'll check that out for sure.
Yeah,
I'll
well.
check that out for sure. I saw the Teen Titans trailer and it just didn't sit with me. I just thought it was a bit silly. I thought it was, you can do, I mean, Jesus, in a world where, Marvel are nailing Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man's humor, that's Teen Titans humor, and DC always have their own version of that humor and they can do it really well. And it just feels really one-dimensional.
I think it's coming through. Well, at least, you know, yes, they're going with the grim and the gritty and all of that shit. But there are certain stories that lend itself to that. And if we're doing the first live action take on the origin of Raven and the first live action take on the
Yeah, the
transition of Dick
Trigon.
Grayson into Nightwing, then I'm all for showing that because that was two of the darkest times in those characters' lives.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can say that I can agree with your point for sure, but the only issue that I would have is that like all team stories, and this is the thing that I think a lot of live action shows are forgetting, is that these teams exist because each character is one thing. So in Teen Titans, Robin is the certainty, he's the brain, he's the thought, whereas Cyborg is the logic, he's the reason. Then you've Beast Boy, he's the comedy. You've Starfire, she's the relatability, and then you've Raven, and she's the dour, depressive. And they all stand for elements of personality. And when you whitewash them all with just one tone, when you throw across a singular tone like gritty Robin, gritty Cyborg, gr or sorry, gritty Robin, gritty dark Raven, it's like, okay, it's getting a bit samey, and it's starting to lose a bit of the joy that was what made the Teen Titans great. I mean, I hate Cyborg as a Justice Leaguer. I believe he is only to be a Teen Titaner. And
There's
when
Kevin
you
Keane
remove
keeping the black cyborgs down. Well done.
But no, I don't like that. I
Ooh,
don't
what's your
like
take on Comicsgate, Kevin? Ooh.
I'll tell you one thing. I think using the word gate at the end of anything is fucking dumb. That's what I think. Let me tell you why.
Oh,
Firstly,
careful now, listeners. Listeners, this is
I know, but
opinion of
I
the podcast.
no, of course not. I speak for myself, but at the same time, I don't even know what Comics Gate is, because as soon as I saw the title, as soon as I saw the phrase Comics Gate, I said, this is fucking dumb, and I just walked away from it. And the reason is, when people in the States and across Europe put the term gate at the end of something, it implies that it's a scandal or a conspiracy of sorts. But that stems from the earliest kind of documented conspiracy of Richard Nixon, which was the Watergate scandal. Now, why this annoys me is the lack of imagination, because Watergate is a fucking place, okay? Watergate is a fucking place, whereas when you put an adjective in front of the word gate and make it out like a conspiracy, that just shows how fucking dumb you are. I'm sorry, it just does. And while I know there's some crazy shit going on, I just walk away. I'm not involved. I don't know what it's even about.
Oh, we won't get into it because it is
No,
that's an entire podcast onto itself. But
it won't do
basically,
anybody
the
any
guys
benefit.
from Diversity in Comics, Bunny Ears around both of those things, can go fuck off. And we'll leave
Fair
it at
enough.
that.
Fair enough.
So, I hope that answers your question, Derek.
But Derek,
I'm just
Derek
gonna
Doom
throw it
Patrol
out
said
there.
photos look good.
I think Robot Man looks fucking savage.
He does. Yes, he does. He looks great.
And
Yeah,
with
he looks
Brendan
great.
Fraser doing his voice, I'm all in on that character for sure. I think Doom Patrol looks great. And just as a side note, I think Swamp Thing looks like it's gonna be something special if they do it right. Teen Titans, I'm in for because, and I've said this on previous shows as well, that I was never really like, I get it. Loads of people love Teen Titans in the Teen Titans Go version that exists and the previous version just before that.
I go for the previous one.
Yeah,
They balanced light and dark perfectly in that show.
I could never get into that version of Titans, so maybe this version of
Really?
Titans will be something that I enjoy, you know?
Okay. Oh no, I get that. No, I can understand that. I thought the first ever Teen Titans animated series, it balanced light and dark very well because you had the camaraderie between Robin and Cyborg, and then you had Beast Boy breaking up all the comedy, and you had the stark difference then between Starfire and Raven.
Yeah.
But then you had Slade, who was voiced beautifully by Ron Perlman and just incredibly well put together. That show was light years ahead of its time. I believe Teen Titans, the original show, is the legitimate follow-on from the animated Batman series.
I
You know, you,
would grossly disagree with you,
I
but
know a lot of.
that's just
Fair
me.
enough, fair enough.
I enjoy the incarnation that exists in Young Justice.
Yeah, that's great. No, look, fucking man, Young Justice is beautiful.
Yeah.
There's no denying Young Justice.
That's
So
where I'm
I
at, like, and you know, I'm really digging everything we've seen from the upcoming season 3 that's going to be released as well.
on Netflix, right?
No, that's DC, that's the DC streaming app
Oh, is it?
exclusive. Yeah.
Where I thought I read somewhere that it was on Netflix. Oh, cool. That's sweet. I'll check that out. I love Young Justice. I fucking love it.
Yeah,
So,
that for
yeah.
me is the, and that's when people say, really, you didn't like Teen Titans? I go, yeah, but I really dug Young Justice, like.
I mean, that makes that look. There's no argument to be made there, man. There's no argument. I mean, it's one it, like you can love both,
Yeah, you
you
can,
know.
yeah, totally.
But
It's just for me, I hope this
Young
new Teen
Justice did it for
Titans
you.
veers closer to Young Justice than it does Teen Titans Go. Do you know what I mean? And all indications seem to be that that's the case.
Yeah.
I'll give Hawk and Dove a look, you know? I mean, I liked the dude who played Hawk when
I'm just gonna.
when he
I'm
was
just
Aquaman.
gonna. Oh yeah.
Back in his Smallville days.
I'm gonna just say it straight out. I'm just gonna say it because this has been on my mind for all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Let's just be. I'm just gonna say it for
Drop
what
it.
it is, right? I love that DC are doing all the things that they're doing. Okay, I appreciate the efforts that they're trying to make. I've always been a DC guy first and foremost. Growing up, I've always preferred the Justice League and Batman and Teen Titans, but I cannot, for the fucking life of me, understand why they're dancing around just doing a Batman and separate Superman series,
As
and
a TV show.
just fucking do them. Jesus Christ, stop dancing around it. We
They
don't
see them as
want.
film franchises, but now that
I
they've fucked up the
appreciate.
film franchise, I think they're testing the waters, all right? And
No,
here's how I
look,
think they're testing the
okay.
waters, okay? We're getting Batwoman in the Arrowverse next year.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
There's no getting to Kate Kane without Bruce Wayne already existing and being Batman out there in the universe. Stephen Amell dropped the Bruce Wayne name on the show last year.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Which tells me that not only is Batman out there, but he's operating and has been for a while. Which
Yeah.
tells me that we're dealing with a very much so urban legend version of Batman.
Which I'm all good with that. If
Yeah.
they want to do that, then I'll back at 100%.
You know?
The problem that I've had is that they're dancing around it, right?
Baby steps,
And
man. Baby steps. We don't
well,
have an active Superman on television.
yeah, and like that's really cool. You know, I'm not detracting from any of the positive steps they've taken.
Yeah.
What I'm pointing out is that we don't want Batman in the form of Robin moving away from the Batman moniker. We don't want Batman in the shape of Arrow. We don't want Superman in the shape of fucking God knows what, right? They did a Supergirl show and it's great. People love it.
With
They did a
Superman in it,
flat.
that's the one I'm
Yeah,
referring to, like, you know.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's great. Like, that's fine. But Superman does not play second fiddle. This is the bit that bothers
There are many
me. If
times
you
when
want
I
that.
watch that show, right, where I go, where's Superman right now? Because since he showed up, they now have to explain his absence every time there's something seriously cataclysmic, if you know what I mean. And
I
that
mean, I
makes
love
sense
the.
because now
I.
that you pull the Superman trigger, your brain goes to, where's Superman?
I mean, I love the character of Supergirl. I always have.
Yeah.
I've since reading that Michael Turner fucking book, the
Oh
Batman
yeah.
versus, oh my god, I just
That
love
was
that character.
Superman, Batman, the Jeff
Batman
Loeb, Michael Turner one.
Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, I just fucking love that story, and I love Supergirl, and give her own show and let her be Supergirl. But I appreciate Krypton. I appreciate what they're doing with Krypton. Again, I'm not detracting from any of the positive steps they're taking, but why are we seeing Brainiac detached from Superman proper? I get
For the
what you're
first time
doing.
in his live action appearance, yeah.
I get what you're doing, and it's cool, but it would be so much fucking better if it was Superman, right? Or this shit that they're doing with Gotham, where it's like, is he the Joker? Not really, but he kind of looks like him, and he behaves like him, but he isn't the Joker. It's like, lads.
Oh, no. Have you not been, you not up to date on that one?
Well, no, I checked the fuck out of Gotham because it's a Batman show that doesn't have fucking Batman
So,
in it. Of course I'm going to check
hear
out of
me
that
out,
shit.
right? So, you want to know where they finally ended up on that Joker thing?
Right.
Cameron wasn't the Joker. His brother is.
Okay.
He has a twin brother.
Right.
And in his last act before dying,
yeah,
the version that was, you know, that we all thought was the Joker, creates a very special toxin that he unleashes on his brother. And it is very clearly revealed that his brother is the actual Joker. Like, Ghost
Right.
is, by the end of season 4, which I believe was the last season,
Yeah.
he's full on Jack Nicholsoning by the end of it.
Well, fair enough if that's the way they're going with it. I'm still going to call bullshit on it, though,
Oh no,
to a
it's
certain
total
degree.
bullshit, man. Total crap. But
And the
do
whole.
you know what
I
gets
want
me
to.
in that series?
Yeah.
Fucking as I the only reason I continue to watch Gotham, and I occasionally check in and check out, but the only reason
Sure.
I keep coming back to Gotham, they have a fucking real good version of Edward Nygma on that show.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I've heard the Edward Nygma is absolutely stellar.
Yeah.
But this is the thing that fucking bothers me, right? This is exactly what you just said. This is what annoys me, is the fact that we have this incredible Riddler. Why don't we have an incredible Batman to go side by side?
I
You know?
absolutely agree with you. I'm going to wreck your head even more. Have you heard who's debuting on season 2 of Krypton?
Darkseid.
Now, live action debut.
Hold on,
Lobo.
hold on. Lobo, for fuck's sake. Like, yeah, but he'll fight Superman's granddad, and by the time it's all fucking said and done, Superman won't know what the fuck's happened. So, oh, that's so frustrating. Lobo is amazing. Lobo is one of the greatest characters ever created,
And
and
if they do as good a job as they did with Brainiac, I'm in, like.
oh, Jesus, I'll sign up tomorrow morning. I love Brainiac in that show. He looks incredible. And if they can do the same with Lobo, yeah, absolutely. But it's just what, like, when you look at, like, for example, right, look at Daredevil on Netflix, right? Season 1, spellbinding. Season 2, when the Punisher was there, fantastic. Everything after the Punisher, lads, what happened? And then now we're at a point where we've season 3, but what did they give us in those seasons? They gave us an incredible Punisher, they gave us an incredible Kingpin, and it was all the better for it because we had an incredible Daredevil. So all we're short now is give us Bullseye, and they've announced it.
Yeah,
Like,
for season
Bullseye
3.
will. So I say, give us Bullseye, and guess what? Now we have the. Like, the thing is, this is what annoys fans, and this is the bit that I've been contemplating on for a long time, is fans are collectors. We collect comic books, we collect action figures, we collect statues, posters, prints, whatever.
People.
We collect these. We collect memories. And when you've got a TV show that's perfect, you've got a collection of memories in your head that make it proper. It's like it's why everybody loves Firefly. It's why everybody loves Young Justice. It's why everybody loves those shows, because they were done right, and you have the memory collection still there in your brain, and you're in your little glass cabinet in your brain. And with that, you know, when you get like, for example, we're getting great Brainiac, we're getting incredible Lobo, the villains that they've done in Flash and Arrow have all been very good, decent in places, shit in others, but decent and great. And it's like, guys, you've got the best two superheroes of all time. Make a movie and a fucking TV show. We're not going to stop you. Like,
this is the classic Warner Brothers problem.
Right? It is.
It is a problem that has existed since going all the way back to if we really go back to the start of it, to the Reeves Superman film.
Yeah.
The minute the Reeves Superman film became a success, Warner Brothers did not want Superman on TV.
Yeah. Well, that was back in a time. That was back in a time when TV was considered beneath
yeah.
movie. Yeah.
And then, you know, in the 80s, Batman became the movie star.
Yeah.
Right? Which meant it was okay for Superman to go back to TV, where he had originally lived in the form of George Reeves. You know? So it's weird. I've looked at this in a weird kind of looking at the whole spectrum of timing, right?
So
Batman takes off in the late 80s, early 90s, and Superman goes back to TV, right? The attempt to resurrect Superman in the form of Tim Burton's Superman eats so many years that Superman sits on the shelf, all right? After Lois and Clark New Adventures had sat there. And then, because of how out of touch people were with the Superman character from that point, we get Smallville, right? Which is literally stripping Superman away of all of the elements that make him Superman, bar he's from Krypton and he lives in Smallville, right? Each of these different versions that exist, if you look at the timing of when they came out, you can tell the temperature or tell the feeling that Warner Brothers had in relation to the characters, right? And right now, if you're looking at right now, if you bring it right up to today, Batman has been played out cinematically. Let's just admit it. All right? Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
We've had one too many Batman films now. In quick succession, where while we can objectively look at it, while I may have enjoyed elements of the Zack Snyderverse,
as have I,
I don't think that version of either of those characters has played as well with people in the long run. And I think it's due to exposure a little bit, because everybody still had Bale's Batman in the back of their head.
Yeah.
When Affleck's Batman came onto play. Let's face it.
Well, it's hard to deny. It's hard to deny
Ben Affleck in rehab.
I know. I mean, the thing is, you know, you can understand Heath Ledger's scenario very nicely now because of what's happening to Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to deny Christopher Nolan's aftertaste. You know, it's hard to deny what was left after he walked away. Now, I will add to that, and I'm just going to, I guess I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. I think you're absolutely spot on. And I like
to bring up Superman Returns.
I was only watching Ted the other night, and it's that one line with Patrick Stewart. Brandon Routh. What the fuck was that? I've always felt that the DC universe was rushed massively. And the reason being is that they didn't wait for their opening. If the DCEU wanted to start, now is the time to do it, post-Infinity War, because let Marvel have their time. Stop being greedy and stop trying to grab the spotlight, right? Every time DC released a trailer, Marvel announced something new because they were so far ahead of them. So if DC were smart about it, and I know now this is all very well good, me, Mr. Armchair Fanboy, but from my personal viewpoint, I see it as DC just mistimed it. Because Ben Affleck is a sensational actor. You can argue with that if you want, but you can't deny he's a fantastic actor if he's left act. And then Henry Cavill is also a very charismatic, very good actor. And I think working with a guy like Ben Affleck would have done huge amounts of benefit for his acting career. And Wonder Woman was fucking incredible. I can't deny Wonder Woman was fucking brilliant. I really liked it.
This is where we're going to disagree. How are you? I know you're David Ayer fucking play is in here when we talk about Suicide Squad, but
well, I sympathize with Suicide Squad because Suicide Squad was a disaster. It was a terrible film. It was an absolutely dreadful film, but that's not David Ayer's fault, because if you look at his back catalog, his back catalog is absolutely flawless. Every film that man has made or put his name to has been a success. I mean, the first film that he was ever credited as a writer was fucking Training Day. Like, you can't deny that. And then
you can tell if you watch Bright.
Yeah, you can. You can tell right away. And he would have been very present on the set with Antoine Fuqua when they were making that movie. And, you know, he did that submarine movie U571 with Matt McConaughey. And that movie is fucking edge of your seat stuff.
All right.
Hey. But, like David Ayer is fantastic, but you can just, that movie reeks of Warner Brothers, of the executives coming in and saying, this is what we need. We need it to be more like Guardians of the Galaxy. We need it to be more like this, that, and the next thing. But had they had left David Ayer make that movie, it would have had a very, very strong audience, like Bright does, you know?
Yeah.
And
no, I absolutely
while,
hear your ultimate point, which is
yeah, but it's a shit film.
But if you really nail it down here, Warner Brothers is the problem.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly right.
And Warner Brothers are doing the thing where they don't want to give you the direct Batman. They don't want to give you the direct Superman in some cases. Now, they've warmed to that in the... I think they've warmed to Tyler Hoechlin taking on the part of Superman in the Arrowverse more prominently, because quite soon, quite soon, in fact, he's going to have more screen time as Superman than Henry Cavill has in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just adding up number of minutes on screen as Superman.
Mm-hmm.
We're not far off Tyler Hoechlin actually surpassing Henry Cavill with the amount of time he has spent on screen as Superman. And that's a bit crazy when you think about it.
It is.
And
no, it is.
It tells you, to me anyway, that they are warming to the idea of returning these characters to television, mainly because of the good work that's being done over in the Arrowverse over at the CW. And I think you're right. I think, but I don't, I think they're more hesitant to put Batman on television because of the success that ultimately Batman has had.
But he would have so much more success. That's the thing.
As a serialized,
you know,
TV series, absolutely. Tailor made for it.
You know, he really is, like, I mean, the primary success of Batman.
Look at Punisher.
Yes, you. Exactly. Exactly. You look at The Punisher, you look at Daredevil, they are just incredibly strong shows. And you can do that with Batman very easily. It's not hard. Any idiot who has been reading Batman for 5 years, right? And when I say idiot, I'm not calling fans idiots. I'm saying any fucking average Joe Soap walking on the street who's read, I don't know, The Long Halloween or, you know, Year One, you can put together a decent way of putting a Batman story together, right? Make sure the streets are gritty. Make sure the crime is real. Make sure Batman is a badass. There you go. Job done. They did it with Daredevil. And not only did they do it with Daredevil, but they did it with Punisher as well, where they included the more emotive side to these characters, which is what makes the fans love them in the first place. You know?
Right. Coming back around to our questions, okay? Our man Bob, we knew he'd come up.
So yeah.
To kind of round this out, Bob asks, how did you guys enjoy your first Kickstarter? What lessons did you learn from it? Would you go that route again? And what are you doing? Oh, sorry. What are you going to do when it hits 12K?
Go to Disneyland.
Disneyland.
How did you guys enjoy it? I would say I loved every second of it, but I've been in stark disbelief for the majority of it.
Yeah. There is an awful... I'm a very big believer of how things look online aren't always how they go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We've been... this has been one of those things where everything we're saying online is exactly how it has gone. Which
yeah.
is insane. That it's gone this well.
No, it's surpassed the idea that I had that it would do. I thought, genuinely, I thought we'd be at 4,800 by this stage.
Yeah.
And be like, come on, please. You know?
Yeah.
but on it's just, I'm genuinely, I don't know how to describe it. I genuinely don't have the words to describe it other than it was a sensational realization that the years of hard work have been recognized. That's what it felt like to me anyway.
Did we learn? Jesus, I'm still learning.
Yeah, that hasn't stopped. I guess the key ones are hardbacks are a motherfucker.
I would say the number one preparation thing you can do is plan your costs.
Yeah, dramatically.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Change in your costs from quote and quote and actual cost, two different things.
Massively,
you know,
massively. So you have to give yourself a lot of breathing room
and kill you with
yeah.
the final cost.
Yeah,
but try as best as you can. If anybody out there is thinking about doing this, I spent about 6 months researching other Kickstarters that were comics Kickstarters. So, and we're not just talking about comics here. If you're thinking about using Kickstarter in general,
In general, yeah.
look for something like for like. You know,
Yeah.
look for something, look at other projects that are on Kickstarter. Look at the ones that were funded and look at the other side. Look at the ones that failed.
Yeah.
Look at the reasons why.
I would
Think
give the
about
exact same. I would give the exact same advice to
Yeah.
anybody. Yeah.
Think about your timing, about what like I think we've had a lot of lucky advantages, you know. We launched on the Friday of Dublin Comic Con, which allowed us to run over the weekend of Dublin Comic Con. But it also allowed us, because of the 30-day nature of Kickstarter, for it to run past the next monthly payday.
Yeah.
So we got a nice bump there last week when payday happened. You know?
I mean, it was really, I couldn't believe how many people were willing to give us their money to get this book out. It was absolutely jaw-dropping. Yeah, it was stellar. And it's been steady. Everyone, like, there was people saying to us, at the start, there's going to be a lull, it's going to stop for a while and then it'll bump up again. But it's been steady the whole way. Obviously, we've been updating it and we've been talking about it and we've been posting about it and keeping the information fresh, but we've not had to really push or really get anyone's attention. It's just been self-sustaining, which is just insane. I never thought it would be like that. I thought
And
we would have
that's
to
one of
grind
those
every day.
advantages I was talking about in that, you know, and there are mechanics in place that we couldn't have possibly predicted.
Yeah, for sure.
Like when we hit 30% on day one, that kicked us into the Kickstarter recommended project.
Yeah,
And
that was
that has
huge.
been a massive advantage to us.
Yeah, no, it's been gigantic.
Because that has brought in a whole crew of people that have never seen my work, never seen your work, weren't following us online, and are suddenly backing our book.
Yeah, just an unbelievable.
Yeah, like that's a pure advantage that we couldn't have predicted, that we didn't know the mechanics of how it worked when we started this thing. Just the knock on, like I've have a good campaign ready, have content ready, you know.
I would say plan it well in advance. Give yourself the time so that if anything comes up to surprise you, that you've got legwork already done so that it doesn't trip you up completely.
And don't be naive.
No.
We were naive. We thought we would only hit a max of about 7K, and I've had to do two further stretch goals, which we had to make up on the fly and
Yeah.
produce as we go, which was, you know, we initially prided ourselves in going, well, all of our designs and everything we need to do is ready before we even start this thing.
Exactly.
And that was not the case because we actually exceeded our own expectations.
Yeah,
And
and dramatically so.
yeah, but you know, with the mentality of, well, every cent we get needs to go back to our backers, we then started the process of, you know, commissioning Stephen Mooney to do a new print, or commissioning Michael Carroll to do a short story, or and these things, you know, the cost of those things then come from the Kickstarter. And that's why we're asking for money in relation to stretch goals, because as we hit a stretch goal, we already have budgeted for that stretch goal, as in what that money will be used for. So as we now aim to other stretch goals, that's when we started creating a budget for ourselves to create new work and new rewards that we could give out to people, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, it's basically, look, the simple way of putting it is don't put the cart before the horse. You got to make sure that you plan everything correctly and factor every moving piece as it moves, because that's what Kickstarter is. It's a constantly moving piece of machinery. Like,
Like that's a very, very good point in that, you know, as and this is something that probably not a lot of people will talk about, but I'm gonna say it here and you can take the opinion of it as it is, but there is a point in Kickstarter where your costs are gonna begin to exceed what you've been seeking initially. You know, if it becomes, dare I say the words, too successful in that, you know, I'll be honest and say our initial print costs and our initial, you know, creation costs were based on a number far lower than we are now doing.
Yes.
And that was because we had to increase our numbers as the Kickstarter became more popular, you know. So that's natural if it does well, which is fantastic, and it's absolutely great, but it's just something to bear in mind. Your initial budget, like our initial budgets, it's completely out the window at this point.
Oh, days, weeks ago. Yeah. So yeah, no, that was like, I hope that answers your question, Bob. Like the amount of
apply, basically.
Yeah, like the amount of lessons that we've learned is be adaptable, mm-hmm. Meet every bump in the road head on, mm-hmm. and plan ahead. And hardbacks are a motherfucker. would you go this route again?
Yeah,
I would. 100%, I'd go this route again, but I would do it right. And not do, like, not oversaturate it and not think that it's going to work this way every time. Yeah, you know, this is one of those things.
Kickstarter is not going to be something we use for every single book.
No.
Like, I'll be bringing out Red Sands 2 probably early 2019. And that will be in the same format as Red Sands 1. It will be 40 pages. It will be self-financed. It will not be something that we do on Kickstarter. And the reason is because it doesn't require it.
You know, no.
The reason ultimately we went with Kickstarter is because we wanted to create a book on another level of production. You know, we wanted to try something new.
And yeah.
As we have books that would then suit that in the future, sure, I would definitely consider going the Kickstarter route again. Mainly because, you know, it does establish yourself a whole brand new audience, you know?
Mm.
And mm-hmm. as creatives, we want to bring in as many audience members as we possibly can, and sometimes you got to step outside the small pool we're in Ireland, which does have a glass ceiling of readers, because there aren't many people in this country reading comics in any given time. And
yep, true.
It's time, I think, that our comics should be getting out to a wider audience, and this is probably one of our first steps in that.
Mm-hmm.
But
big time,
you know. Building that bridge to that wider audience, you can't just start firing Kickstarters at them every 6 months. Do you know what I mean?
No. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that.
As far as I'm concerned. And
in fact, the primary reason I think our Kickstarter worked in the first place was the fact that we actually built our foundation audience before launching the Kickstarter. In all the updates and all the little snippets and sneak peeks that we were showing people,
yeah.
was creating intrigue in them anyway.
Yeah.
And by the time the book was then ready, they had a sense of attachment to the procedure of the comic and the progression and the production of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it felt like a validation of their support, and that's why I think it worked so well.
Yeah.
I could be completely fucking wrong too, but I know that that's how I would feel. When I see certain artists doing their work in progress and then I buy the comic months down the line, I'm like, oh shit, I saw that panel penciled. Oh, that looks awesome. You know, that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd agree pretty much everything you're saying there. Yeah. The expansion side of Kickstarter has been absolutely sensational for us. So I can't argue with that for a second.
No, I totally agree. And as for what will we do when we get to 12K,
yeah.
we can afford Michael Carroll.
Yeah, we can buy him.
That's the plan. So yeah, that's hang on, let me just see.
There's one last question regarding Power Rangers.
And that's regarding Power Rangers, and that's going to take an age to answer. So do you know what? I'm going to leave that one off for now, and I'm going to say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Kearns will answer the Power Rangers question on the next episode, and I'll try and get the lads to read it, because it deserves to be read by the whole of Pubcast and torn apart as it should be, but as a proper comic book series doing a proper comic book event, having no business as being as good as it is for being a 20-year-old property that nobody was really caring about anymore. Shattered Grid has been sensational. Absolutely sensational.
That's cool. I haven't read it, but the art's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's a sexy looking book, and it levels up the storytelling in Power Rangers. So yeah, I want to kind of do a proper review on that. I have one more mm-hmm. question from my own page, and that's from Paddy mm-hmm. Thompson, and he asks, have you seen the finale of Preacher?
I don't watch Preacher, no.
You don't watch Preacher? I mm-hmm. dig Preacher, and the reason mm-hmm. I dig Preacher as a TV series is it's doing stories that the actual Preacher never did.
Mm-hmm.
Like the current
that's cool.
on-running yeah. story is, well, the big shot from the finale is that the Saint Killers killed Satan.
Oh, whoa.
And Hitler now runs hell. And the Saint of Killers is rocking back up to Earth with Arseface to fucking take down
Right.
Jesse, as Jesse is heading over to attack the Grail, having just killed the Allfather and unleashed an army of Humpardews into the world. It's a fucked
There you
up
go.
version of Preacher, but it's a beautiful one at the same time. The dude who plays fucking Herstar is just, I don't think there's ever been a more perfect casting in any comic series ever. The dude is Herstar. Like, his shaped like a penis and everything. It's just like they've been doing the thing where he's been, every episode he's showing up in a different hat because he's trying out all the
Right.
hats to cover the penis
Yeah,
head.
yeah, yeah,
It's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
fucking wonderful.
That's class. Now that sounds wicked. I watched, I remember I checked out of Preacher the first episode. I knew it wasn't for me after the first episode. Not because I'm a giant fan of the comics. I like the comics. I wouldn't consider myself a diehard fan of the comics, but I felt like Preacher didn't know what it was,
It does now.
and it does. I know it does now. But I at the time was just, and I look, this is all on me, I'm a dickhead, right?
Don't have to fucking tell me, Kevin. I've been stuck with you for years.
I know you have, yeah, and I'm like, I don't sympathize for you because I'm a dickhead, but anyway,
Sure look.
sure, listen, I didn't like Preacher purely because I had just come off season one of True Detective, and
And
I was
that
looking for,
shit that gets your dick hard, isn't it, Kevin?
oh, does it what? I was just after coming off of a pretty serious relationship with True Detective, and it just wasn't the same, you know? I mean, not to say the preacher isn't a bad person. They're a good person. I hope they make somebody very happy one day, but I'll always have my attachment to True Detective season one, so that's why Preacher suffered. I could go back and rewatch it, but I'm just too busy to watch anything long term right now. I'm gearing up to try and start Ozark season two. So that's my next big thing, but I'm glad
I
that
will say
Preacher's after
this.
finding its ground. That's good.
The season finale, and spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it, Preacher spoilers. I've already given spoilers. Ah, shit, I already fucked this up. Okay, fuck it. They did the Jody versus Jesse fight, and it
Ah, cool.
was glorious.
Worth the price of admission.
It was wonderful. They've also done the Cassidy discovers a cadre of vampires living in New Orleans thing,
Yeah, okay.
where basically Cassidy's just walking around with this fucking brood of vampires, calling them all posers and wankers and shit, and it's
Yeah.
pretty good, to be honest. I
I love
do
Casey
dig
or
Gil
Cassidy.
Gunn's version of Cassidy.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic in it. I
Yeah,
really liked him when I watched it, yeah.
it took some getting used to because of personal attachments to Cassidy,
Of
but
course.
he's fucking sensational, if I'm honest. Like, he really fucking is. There, he's the thing that makes me laugh in the darkest, weirdest moments of Preacher, and that's exactly what Cassidy should be.
Absolutely.
So,
That's good. No, I'm very happy to hear that, though. That's awesome.
yeah, their version of the Allfather. One last point, very last one now, and I know you have to head off soon, my friend.
Yeah, I do.
We were talking about, they won't do Batman, they won't do this, they won't do that. What do you reckon into the, have you heard about this Pennyworth series?
I've seen murmurings of it, but I haven't been following it closely.
Okay. Have you heard the proposed casting for Thomas Wayne?
Oh, I did. Fuck, remind me who it is again.
Eric Baldwin.
I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, right?
You know, I'm not going to argue with Alec Baldwin being cast as Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
Imagine if they got Jeremy Irons to continue as Alfred with fucking Alec Baldwin as Thomas Wayne. I'll just leave your listeners with that.
Oh God, but like, what's really weird about this is that, like, back in the Burton days, like, Baldwin was up for Bruce Wayne,
Yeah,
and
he was. Yeah.
it's just one of those things where you go, he would have been a really good Bruce Wayne,
Oh, would he
and
what?
I
Oh my
dug his
God.
shadow.
God.
I'm a total fan of the Alec Baldwin version of the Shadow. It's
Yeah,
great as
I
far
love
as
it.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
And and then Jack Donaghy, so
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I love that.
All in for Alec Baldwin. as Thomas Wayne, even if it's a weird Pennyworth series. How weird is it? Now we're now getting a pre. It's not even a prequel to Gotham, but it's the origin story of Pennyworth. I mean,
it's bullshit for sure. It's bullshit, 100% bullshit.
Yeah.
A half measure, if there ever was a half measure, you know. Like it's like the look. To be honest, it's like the most teased fucking blowjob anyone's ever gotten. You know, it's all balls, no shaft. That's what DC is doing at the moment, and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. It feels good. It looks good. Whatever, but it's not the meat and potatoes. It's not the real thing. And like, as much as I appreciate what they're doing, and as much as I absolutely support every effort that they make, I'm just not going to be a fan of these shows that dilly-dally around the big two. I'm just not. I can't, because I know why I read the comics, you know, and I know why I read, and I know why I watch the animated series. It's because we're getting the real deal. You know, when you watch The Death of Superman, you watch The Dark Knight Returns animated movies, you know what you're getting, and it's fucking delicious every time. So while I say, yeah, do a Pennyworth series, it'll be fun, it'll be cool to see it, but am I going to shout home about it? Absolutely not. Bundle of joy, me.
Anything else you want to plug or give a shout out to or anything like that?
I'm just going to say again, I know we've said it a million times, but I'm going to say a gigantic thank you to everyone who has supported the Neon Skies Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a gigantic thank you to all of your lovely listeners on the podcast that have suffered through my yammerings for this episode. And I want to thank someone. No, I want to thank everyone who works with us at Rogue Comics for supporting us to the level that we've actually been able to bring a book this size out and have the support of people who do what we do,
yeah,
backing us all the way. It's fucking incredible. So yeah, that's me. That's you're all wonderful people. Everyone that supported us, be it a comic creator or just a comic reader and fan, you're amazing and we love you to bits.
That's pretty much everything I gotta say too. if anybody is listening that hasn't checked out the Kickstarter, please check it out. And in the meantime, we also have our entire range of books available over at roguecomicsireland.com. Please
mm-hmm.
check us out there. And you can also pick us up in a bunch of stores around Dublin. We're available in Dublin City Comics. We're available in Forbidden Planet. And we're now the entire range is also now available out in the Big Bang.
Yep.
So you can pretty much get us anywhere that is a really decent purveyor of comics. And that's pretty much everything from me this week.
Come see us at Thought Bubble if you're in Leeds.
Yeah.
And if not, shoot us a message online and we'll see if we can get a book out to you.
Absolutely. We should possibly mention we're going to be gearing up for the Comic City Festival as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself will be gearing up to head over to New York for New York Comic Con.
Yep.
So we will be at different shows around the place. It's mad to think the kind of year we've had.
Oh, it's insanity.
But yeah, more still to do. So yeah, if anybody else wants to check out our stuff, you can find us online.
Absolutely.
This has been Pubcast, not in a pub, and missing 2/3 of the cast. I have been Kieran, and with me has been Kev.
Cheers, guys.
Good night now.
Bye.
Hashtag go rogue. Hashtag rogue nation.
Hashtag rogue nation.